Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight. This is your roundup and your destination for everything that is business in Africa. And we are the Business Day's podcast, just giving you a roundup of what's going on in and around the South African economy. And this week, since we have the famous, or in some cases, infamous Black Friday retail weekend coming up, we thought that we would have online retail and some of the infrastructure that's in place to get some of your deliveries in place, the web hosting and the like. We're going to be having all of that in focus. And on today's show, we're going to be talking to Ashley Arends, who is from Pickup. And then after that, we're going to be talking to Craig Fester from One Grid Local Web Hosting. I'm joined in studio today by my colleague, Ntando Tukwana, who is a, can I call you a retail writer?
Essentially, that's what I am.
Yeah. She is a retail writer for the Sunday Times Business Times. Mm-hmm. Are you looking forward to Black Friday?
Not at all. Not at all. How ironic. Huh? I'm not looking forward to Black Friday. I don't like crowds much.
Yeah.
I already shop at discounted prices.
Yeah.
So there's really no reason for me to be shopping on a Friday night in packed malls. Mm. I abhor it.
You abhor it.
Yeah.
Well, unlike you, there's still like 2% of the retail market which really loves online retail. And one of the things that has really been picking up over the last few years is online food delivery and online retail delivery. And on the line, we're joined by Ashley Arends, who is from Pickup. They are a... Ashley, am I right in saying that you guys are a last-mile crowd-sourced delivery service?
100%. That is one of the verticals that we have. But I think the best way to explain Pickup is that we're a technology company that simplifies delivery. So from warehouse packaging to handing over the parcel to the customer.
So
and supported by an elastic network of drivers.
Yeah. And how does the actual system actually work? We understand that you guys have actually been quite instrumental in helping UCook, for example, which makes these prepackaged meal kits actually grow and scale their business. How were you able to do that, and how does the actual business work?
Okay, so with a customer like UCook, they only got deliveries on a Sunday and Monday, and it makes no business sense for them to have a fleet of drivers employed that only work for 2 days. So we pick up funding. We optimize all the deliveries, which in Cape Town, Johannesburg, and Durban, and we then assign that to the closest driver to the collection point. So on a Monday, you'll typically see over 120 drivers at UCook's depot picking X amount of parcels that will go into a certain suburb. So drivers are generally going back into their own suburb and doing a delivery in that space.
And then I guess on that, how did the actual business, could you just give us the history? Because it really sounds like one of those things, like, why aren't there more people doing this?
Yeah, so the biggest challenge about crowdsourcing, which is our elastic network of drivers, is going back to old school, where we have to focus on a training point. So at Pickup, we've added a lot of functionality and a lot of thinking into how we recruit these drivers. So it's not an easy task. So our drivers basically, in order to come onto the platform, it's a 7-working-day period. And in that 7 days, we are doing a user test. We see, why are you joining Pickup? Are you just a driver that has 10 different platforms and you're just hungry for money? Or are you going to treat this and focus on the customer and think of yourself as an entrepreneur? So there's business skills, there's soft skills, there's customer service, and that's why the training takes 7 days. It's not like we look to the crowd and just onboarding. So a history of Pickup is that we started last mile logistics, A to B deliveries, like you forgot your laptop charger and you're about to go into a meeting.
Yeah.
And then over the years we scaled into how we can handle a company like UCook or Walton's with high bulk deliveries, not just on the last mile. How can we optimize the operations from when they take that sale? So Pickup, morphed into this technology company where we we're using machine learning and AI in order to route these parcels, in order to optimize the parcel, and that is supported by a well-trained CrowdSource delivery driver.
Sure. And my question, Ashley, would be around commission. I know just from a few conversations with different people that negotiating for commission can be very difficult, and it's something that is a pain to, you know, the food providers. But what is the challenge there for you?
Good question. So the strength, or one of the core functionalities of Pickup, is a patented algorithm called TOX, which stands for Parcel and Rate Calculator System.
Yeah.
So we charge a customer based on that effort that the driver is putting out. So we factor in depreciation of the vehicle, we factor in insurance, the data that they use, the data that they use to for Google Maps. Then we go into distance and the size of the parcel. So when it comes to our earnings on the fleet, is that we, I would say, in South Africa, we pay our drivers quite fairly, based on all the things, all the variable costs that it takes a driver to actually do a delivery. And to give you more insight, if a customer is paying, let's say, $100, Pickup would only take 15% of that, where the lion's share goes to the driver that actually completed that delivery. So in a nutshell, we haven't really had any payment problems in the past 5 years based on our parts.
Actually, on that, I wanted to check, how has the reception actually been to the business? We understand, using the UCook example, that that's been a really good sort of maybe like an anchor client for you guys. But apart from them, what are the type of deliveries do you find yourselves typically making? And how has that reception been from either the retailers or the merchants or the businesses?
So the thing is, we see ourselves as a technology company, and it's very interesting at how fed up South Africans are with bad logistics. We've been welcoming a lot of compliments based on our drivers. So we have anything from a UCook, which at the moment is South Africa's biggest meal kit provider. We do deliveries for Waltons, which is South Africa's biggest stationery provider.
Yeah.
And Waltons is a good example of where they're using our technology with their own fleet. And during special periods like Black Friday, they would leverage the Elastic network. If either the driver calls out sick or the vehicles are breaking down, they have the option just to dispatch all the deliveries to a fleet of guys available to do it. From stationery to law firms that need document signed, we've had crazy requests, can we collect the body and deliver it back at their home? So yeah, we haven't done that, but there are so many different sectors that are using our platform for so many different reasons, from offering their customers a better service by having a tracking link, by having the on-demand functionality.
And who are your competitors? Would people like Uber be considered as your competitors?
It's always a tricky question, because I don't want to sound like we don't have competitors, but I feel like Pickup in an uncontested market, like the competition's irrelevant. We want them to use our platform. We want to assist them on the deliveries. Mm. But a direct competitor in South Africa could be, like, there's similarities with the OneDrop business model. Uber, I'll say from a technology point of view, we could be considered as Uber, but the difference is we don't collect people and drop them off, or what we're going to them. But yeah, I would say OneDrop in South Africa, and if from a technology point of view, I'd say we're doing some cool things that Uber technology is also doing.
Sure. I hear you mentioning that you do some work for UCook as well as Waltons. I mean, those are two industries that are, you know, nowhere near being, you know, offering the same service. So I'm just wondering how you select a partner to work with. What's your criteria for choosing those people?
Someone that just needs to either... It's weird because we've got different types of businesses. We've got Waltons that need something completely different to UCook. Then we've got a law firm that needs something completely different to those two. So partners would go onto our platform and subscribe to a package. So the best way to understand is you could have a business with your own drivers and use pickup and never ever touch the Elastic network. So you're just using or subscribing to our technology. And then the other vertical is you start an e-commerce store and you're selling coconut butter, and but you don't want to invest into vehicles, you don't want to pay someone a salary to do your delivery. You'll subscribe to pickup and then have the Elastic network. So we take on partners. Like we don't even, there's not even a criteria. We'll take anyone and assist them on solving their delivery problem.
And then lastly, how can people actually get in touch with you? You just started talking about the subscription. Can you just give us an idea of how people can actually subscribe to the service? And for the drivers that want to perhaps join your network, how does that happen?
Cool. So from a customer or business point of view, they can just go on to pickup.co.za, sign up if they need more details into enterprise packages or pro packages. They'll be able to communicate that on the platform, and our key account manager will reach out. From a driver point of view, drivers can download a pickup driver app on the Google Play Store. They'll then go through a registration process, and we'll schedule them in for the training week from that point.
So that was us on the line. We were talking to Ashley Arends, who is the HR manager at Pickup, just telling us a little bit around their business and how it actually works. Some interesting tidbits coming out from there is just the fact that they're actually delivering for a wide range of businesses. And as Ntando alluded to, you know, I feel like those are completely different things, because my food needs to arrive to me. I guess these are at least it's not like hot food, right? It's a kit,
yeah.
You know, so you don't have to do it within 30 minutes, but I'm sure you can imagine, the type of competency that actually needs to go to it. Do you think there's the room in the market for more than that? Because I think you mentioned two other competitors. Apart from that, do you think there's room in the market to have more such businesses?
Definitely, yes. I'm just thinking of the hard good retailers.
Hmm.
Maybe there's space to tap into that market, because the delivery costs actually determine a lot of the purchases. So if someone could, you know, tap into that market, they could be solving a solution that's not yet solved.
Okay, so that's been us in terms of this part of the conversation. We're just going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back just talking about what it actually means to run one of these online retail platforms on a website, and some of the things that happen if you have too much traffic on Black Friday. You know, how can you protect yourself? This is Business Day Spotlight.
The cryptocurrency revolution is a rabbit hole that goes deeper than just Bitcoin and blockchain. South Africa's revolutionary cryptocurrency investment platform, Revix, presents Beyond Bitcoin, your guide to the crypto future. Unpack the news, trends, and terminology live every Monday on The Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com. You can also download every episode on the Cliff Central app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. This is BD Spotlight. We are talking online retail. We're talking retail in general, given the Black Friday weekend, which is set to come up this week. And on the line now, we are going to be talking to Craig Fester, who is of One Grid. They are a local web hosting platform. And we're going to be switching the conversation, because in the first half, we are talking to Ashley Arends from Pickup, just around the infrastructure that's in place for people that want to do online delivery but may not necessarily have their own delivery team in on hand or on site, and they can actually outsource that to people like to pick up. But now we want to switch over to the more technical side, because online websites, the apps, all of that has to exist somewhere, and people like One Grid are out here making sure that the traffic is getting where it needs to, and people are able to swipe their cards online and do all those Black Friday purchases. Craig, can you just give us a roundup just around what One Grid is doing on the local web hosting side, and perhaps if you can share some of your clients with us?
Yeah, so One Grid is a local web hosting company. We offer shared and dedicated hosting services to local businesses. We also offer domain name registrations, and we do website security as well. Most of our customers are the small local business owners in the various provinces. We operate completely online, and all our servers are hosted locally.
And I guess for tomorrow, the small businesses that you're talking about, the websites that they host with you guys, do you know if any of them are retail-based, where people are actually coming online to buy products from the people's websites, or are these simply websites that people are using more for contact details?
Yeah, so we have a fair mix of brochureware, websites where it's just static information. But we also do have a number of our customers selling products and services online, where they are going to be accepting payments. And what we anticipate happening tomorrow is, especially for customers that are running Black Friday sale campaigns on Facebook and Google, they will definitely see an increase in traffic during the normal trading hours. And we'll see a bit of spillover onto the weekend and even Monday, with Cyber Monday coming up.
And what sort of challenges are you anticipating for tomorrow?
Yeah, so what we're anticipating is definitely an increase in traffic. So a lot of people coming into our service, especially as I mentioned before, for those customers that are running special. Usually we don't see a large number of outages, but what we want to encourage customers to do is more to ensure that the functionality is 100% on their website. So are people able to complete an order? Are they able to enter credit card details? Are the emails working? Are the phone numbers working? And also, are those websites secure? Do they have the green padlock on the top left-hand side? And so those are things that retailers need to be aware of. Business owners that are running specials for tomorrow, your customers will want to feel safe, and they would want to know that your website is error-free. So for us, the challenge is basically educating our customers as much as possible, not only to have a look at the traffic coming to the website, but also the security.
Actually, on that, I wanted to, maybe you can just give us just briefly for our listeners, just around what are some of the common reasons why websites tend to crash. I understand the fact that the more traffic that there is on a platform, the more the resources are being used up and the like. But is that really all it is? Simply because, you know, some platforms have millions of users, but, you know, never go down. What does it actually come down to?
So, yeah, ultimately it does come down to the amount of traffic. What we normally see is that the bigger retailers would have a solution that we refer to as dedicated server solution. So that retailer would have a number of servers that they are hosting their applications on, and they basically can handle that amount of traffic. Your smaller retail owners, what they would have is what we refer to as shared web hosting. So they are basically sharing resources with other small business owners. And those customers are basically on servers that are going to get flooded with traffic. They are going to, if they are running campaigns, you know, people are curious, people are going to look around and shop around. And up until that point, you ask, okay, you know, these days in web hosting, we can handle large volumes of traffic at any time. The trouble then comes in with the payment gateway provided. In other words, what happens after I've added the item to my cart, and I now enter my credit card details, and the website just says processing. So up until that point, your web hosting solution is all okay. We now need to have a further look in terms of who your payment gateway provider is, who the bank is that provider is connecting to, and so along the way, there are so many different players involved that something can go wrong at any one of those levels.
Sure. And more and more of us are sort of shopping on the digital marketplace. Just how much traffic is being generated by online retailers at the moment?
Yes, yeah, difficult to put an exact number to it. What we normally anticipate is retailers that are running paid advertising campaigns So these are people that have been, since the start of the month, sending us emails, you know, look out for our Black Friday special, doing the full teaser campaigns. And so tomorrow is really the day where that curiosity is going to be active, where people are going to come online, where they're going to be ready to spend the mindset is that if I'm visiting a website, I'm probably going to spend some money. And so what we anticipate is that if you are running any of those sort of campaigns as a small business owner, you can anticipate your website traffic escalating by as much as 50 to 40%. So what we do advise, website traffic is normally something that the business owner can manage on a daily basis. They do have access to those numbers. So what you need to do is have a look at your historic data, see what kind of traffic you get on a daily basis, and then increase that by 30 to 40%. And you can then have a look at what you are using server package provide in terms of specification, match up the numbers, see that you are prepared, or contact your hosting provider to upgrade your package.
For me, one of the things I'm trying to understand as well is for you guys, just because I'm sure you do a lot of just analytics, you've got that historical data. Apart from events like your Black Fridays, what are the other times of the year where you guys really see a lot of traffic for retailers? Is Christmas a big period, or are people, you know, more likely to walk into a shop, for example?
Yeah, what we would typically see now is Black Friday, there would be a spike. We would sort of then start to tailor down, and we do then see increases around the 16th of December. People are getting bonuses. People are ready to spend money online or in your normal brick and mortar store. And so those are sort of the very busy periods coming up. In terms of actual online shopping, around Christmas itself, the 24th, the 25th, we will see it slowing down, and then we see the big spikes again when the schools reopen, people looking online for stationery, school uniforms, that type of thing.
No, it's been a fascinating one. For me, the last question is just around how do people actually stay safe online, especially given the spate of cyber attacks that's actually happened over the last few weeks in South Africa? How do people stay safe online? Because there's going to be all of this activity. How do we know that people are staying safe, their credentials are safe, their information, their credit cards, all of that is safe?
Yeah, so the key thing to look out for is if you land on any website, whether it be a big retailer or a small business that you're trying to support, in the top left-hand side of that website, there should be a little padlock displayed. And if you double-click that padlock, you'll see information about that business. You can then basically verify if the certificate belongs to the website that you are viewing. So the green padlock is the website security certificate. It will have information about the business and the business owner. You can then sort of match that information with what you are actually seeing on the website. If I click the lock, does the business name there reflect the business name on the website? There should be contact details there if anything goes wrong. And also stay safe. You know, if something is way too good to be true, it normally is. Rather fill in the contact form, get the business owners to get back to you, or use the telephone numbers and see if you can call those business owners. And also have a look at whether there's a social media presence for that business. Are people active? Are the posts up to date? Are people interacting and readily able to get hold of those business owners? And those are sort of just the normal things that you should be looking at when transacting online. And also, if you are uncertain about anything, leave the website immediately. Just close it down. Don't go back there again. If anything that looks like a bank, it closely resembles a banking website, but you know it's not, don't enter any information, not even your phone number. And then what you can also do is have a look online, you know, what are other people saying about this website? Mm-hmm. What are other people's experiences like? You know, the websites like Hello Peter and all the public forums, have a look and see what the experience has been like with the interaction in this business, and just say so.
Yeah. Okay, so that's been us. We were on the line with Craig Fester, who is of One Grid Local Web Hosting, just giving us a roundup of what it means to have an online retail presence and what's going to happen tomorrow, some of the things that they are anticipating. So thank you so much to Craig for that. So with that, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you so much to everyone who was listening. And Tando, how are you feeling about everything now that we've been educated a little bit?
I think I would start participating in some Black Friday, but online. I think they've provided some, you know, nice safety features that are enough to convince me to at least do it online.
If you're a retailer, would you participate in Black Friday?
It's a difficult one. I would, but maybe more for the reason that other players are doing it, more than for my personal gain or my, you know, company's gain. The margins are
The margins are already tough enough as
exactly,
it is.
Exactly. I mean, it's already a constrained retail sector that we have, and having to operate like that. And just last night, I was walking past this one retailer, which I won't mention, and basically they've got 25% on all of their stock.
Yeah.
Their furniture retailer.
Wow.
Premium furniture retailer selling all of their stock at a discount of 25%. And I was just like ready to
How are they doing this thing?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
For me personally, I think it's going to be an interesting one. I anticipate the two of us, we were Takealot last week and we heard the stats, the fact that last year Takealot made 196 million rand just on Black Friday alone. Mm-hmm. So clearly, you know, South Africans are out here. What's scary for me is the fact that online retail is still in South Africa less than 2%.
Yeah.
Right, of the whole pie. Mm. And I'm like, what's going to happen when it gets to 10%?
Exactly.
50%, right? That's the actual question. Like, what type of world are we going to be living in?
It goes to show that there aren't enough players innovating, you know, in terms of offering a service online. Mm. There's just still so much scope to grow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that brings us to the end of the show. You can tell us what you think. Are you going to be participating in Black Friday? How are you staying safe? Make sure that you take some of the tips that you heard Craig talking about, especially in terms of cybersecurity. There are a lot of DOS attacks that are happening at the moment, so you definitely need to stay safe. On Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. Otherwise, you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the Podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then you can remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. And with that, we've come to the end of episode 54 of the Business Day Spotlight. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Amula. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza, and remember that Business Day Spotlight is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.